Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
Hey. Last time I spoke about the proper protocol, about how we approach the Lord and how we come into His presence, because I felt like that as believers, we've gotten a little too comfortable with the Lord and how we approach Him. And I think it had to do a lot with the hyper-grace message that we've heard in the church. And you don't know me, but I'm all for grace. Grace is the reason that I'm alive. The grace is the reason I'm standing here. So I know that God's grace is something that we have to have. And on top of that, we have to have His mercy. So His mercy and His grace work for our good. And I learned along the way that grace is there to help us become who God called us to be. Grace is not there, though, to help us to continue who we used to be. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are profaning that holy thing of grace by continuing in their lifestyles and the sins that they were once a part of, and putting under quotation marks that they're under grace. You know, Charlie and I don't know each other. We're still getting to know each other. But the more we get to know each other, the more we realize we have a lot of similarities and a lot of the same journey. Not the same stories, kind of the same journey. And I'm not going to go long into this. As you get to know me, you'll probably hear more of these stories. But it has never, never been easy for me. Never. When I was a young man, as a child, my dad was abusive. He used to beat me. I used to tell people he threw me from wall to wall, literally, because he was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. And he beat my mother. And so it wasn't just a spanking, it was a beating. And usually with his fist or belt. It got so bad that we had a crawl space in our house, and I would crawl underneath there sometimes, because he would wake up. I'd be in bed asleep, and he'd come in there mad about something and pull me out of the bed and beat me senseless. That's not fair. Not for a little guy, it's not fair. And so I used to crawl into the crawl space and hide from him and sleep next to the furnace in my crawl space. I didn't tell you that because I need some pity. I told you that because through a lot of inner healing and deliverance, because, you know, when you are in that place of healing and deliverance, you want to ask God some questions. Because they tell you, you know, picture God in that situation. Picture Him there with you. With my dad beating me? Is that what you want me to picture? Yeah. Because we want to ask the question to the Lord, where were you? If you're God, why did you allow something that heinous to happen to me? And it got, listen, that was just the tip of the iceberg. That was just the beginning of my story. And I can't get into the whole story, but it's the beginning. But there was something the Lord showed me that stuck with me and is still a part of my life today, is that He said, son, I was there. I was right there. And He said, I want to tell you something about why those things happen to you. This is just one of the things. He said, those things happen to you because of the glory that I put inside of you. I didn't like that. I mean, it sounds good. He said, the glory was so strong inside of you, it made the demons and your father react to want to kill you. I found out later as a man that I was born out of wedlock. So I was a bastard. And they didn't want me. That's going into the womb. So I had to go deal with that too. I can't get into the rest of it. I'll just tell you that theme carried throughout my entire life. All through my childhood, all through my teenage years, until I became a man. I was in the United States military. I served in the Navy for 8 years. And the Lord wrecked me. I took this book literally. I didn't have a concordance. I didn't have a computer. I didn't have access to things that we have access to today, like Google or Alexa or whatever. I couldn't ask questions. I had to ask the Holy Spirit. I just cut my teeth on talking to the Holy Spirit. But He got a hold of me. The Lord got a hold of me. And I took this book so literally, I told everything about everything that I had ever done to anybody that was willing to listen to me. And because of that, I got kicked out of more churches and were rejected by more men than you can shake a stick at. Because I was honest and I was transparent. And I wanted desperately to get over the things that were in my life that I knew were causing me to fall short of the glory that God had put inside of me. And I told young people as a youth pastor, I said, if you hide sin, then you give it a home to make a stronghold in your life. If you shine a light on it, you shine the glory of God's light on it, it can't hide. But I had leaders in the body of Christ, names that you would recognize, say, Ron, you need to fake it till you make it. And I didn't agree with them. I still don't. Because what happens with that? A stronghold is created. So I said, I'm not doing that. Well, I'm serious. I mean, the last church I left, I got kicked out of again. We went back there because we didn't have anywhere else to go. And I was last place I was a youth pastor at. And I had my DNA in it, had my fingerprints on it. There are youth that are there today that are grown and married and have children that still call me. Because I did father them. I told Charlie of the time that I was sitting in a 4,000 member church and Cindy Jacobs was there. She's prophesied over me twice. She's prophesied over me a couple of years ago. But she prophesied over me over 20-something years ago, almost 30. And I was angry with something that day, and I left church and I went to Denny's and I was sitting at the table and I got up to answer my pager, not a phone. I had to go to the payphone. It's a few minutes ago. And so I got up and there sat Cindy Jacob and my pastors of this 4,000 member church. And she said, there he is. That's the one. That's the one I've been telling you about. And I went, oh, crap, she knows I was mad. And I left church, and I'm in trouble. And I went over there and walked over there, get ready to get my spanking. And she said, this is the one I was telling you about. She said, in all my life, in all my ministry years, I've never seen the anointing of the Holy Spirit resting on one individual as much as I do this young man right here. Well, that gave me a big head. And I wanted a man. I wanted the pastor because he said, "I've got my eye on him, and we're gonna do some things with him." He never did anything but kick me out of his church. So, you know, it wasn't long after that that I got tired of being rejected. You know, you get to a point, even in God, that you get tired of being rejected, and I got tired of being rejected. And I told God I wasn't going to darken the door of another church as long as I lived. Because you know what? People suck. Men and women suck at leadership. They do. I'm sorry, they do. So I told him. I ain't going. I ain't going back to another church. And I just moved back to Georgia, and my mom and dad said, I want you to meet this prophet. And see, I'd been in the green room with some of these big name ministers that came in, prophets that came in. And I'd been in the green room before they went out in the front, and the pastor was telling the prophet what to say and to who to say it to. So I said, I don't have much. I don't believe much in prophets. I said, I'm not interested. My parents said, you need to come. I said, I don't want to go. I'd helped with the Washington for Jesus in 1996. I was on the committee and helped put that together. You know, there was close to 1 million people there in 1996. And I was in charge of the VIPs. I'll never forget this day. I'm standing up there on the platform, and we had a couple RVs that were set up for the VIPs that were coming up next on the stage. And, you know, they could only be in there before they went on, just a place for them to be before they went. And I'm gonna just tell you what happened. Kurt Franklin and his family showed up and said, we're on later today, and we want to go ahead and get in the RV. And I said, no, you can't. I said, it's for the next person that's going up on the stage, and you're not till later today. And he said, well, we're just going to go. And I said, bye. Don't leave me in charge of the VIPs.
I don't need to write that down.
I mean, come on. If he had that heart before he got on the stage, who wants him up there? So my parents said, this guy meets in his living room. And instantly the Holy Spirit said, you said you'd worship me in your living room. I said, yes. I said, my living room. I argued with him. I said, my living room, not somebody else's living room. He said, you're going. Ooh, I was mad. Another one of the mad moments. And so I did. I went reluctantly. I had a hat on. I pulled that thing down over my eyeballs and sat in the furthest place that I could sit from that man because I didn't want anything to do with him. The backest row of the living room. The far, far back in the corner. In the dark. And sure enough, you know, 45, 50 people are there. And at the end, he says, he looks at me and he said, you, I want you to come up here and sit on my coffee table. Boy, if he could have heard the things I was saying in my head, he wouldn't have wanted me to sit on his coffee table. But see, he had something that I needed really bad. And it wasn't even the prophetic gift, although it was good. He had something that I really needed. And what I needed from him is unconditional love. And that's what he showed me for the next 12 years, is unconditional love. Now, he could prophesy. I swear to you, I haven't met a man yet that could prophesy like he did. Personal prophecy. Names, addresses. I mean, we'd go into churches he'd never been to before, and he'd prophesy everybody's name in the room. Everyone. He knew nicknames. I remember being with him in Alaska, and a lady said, if he's really a prophet, he'll know my nickname. As soon as she thought it, this is her testimony. As soon as she thought it, he walked over to her and said, hey, Bubbles. And that was her nickname. So I just want you to know, it wasn't just the prophetic gift, although I wanted it. Didn't know I already had it. I wanted it really bad. And he always would tell me, he said, Ron, if you want to be a prophet, prophesy. That's all he'd ever tell me. He would never say, Ron, you're a prophet. He would always say, Ron, if you're a prophet, prophesy. But what I needed more in my life was his unconditional love, because nobody up to that point in the church or in the natural had shown me any love. The only other person that even compares to the love that he showed me is my wife and Jesus Christ. I said all that because I want you to know something. I did pay a price. You don't know me, but I know the price that I paid. I got real mad at God because he took my daddy home. He was 58 years old. I had people call me from all over the world. Ron, what's going on with Jeff? The Lord was telling them. Nothing was put out. There wasn't even social media like there is today. And I was mad. Because nobody loved me like that man loved me. And I watched him walk through some terrible, horrible things, but I also learned from his mistakes. When I moved to Alaska in 2005, he finally said the words that I'd always wanted to hear from him. He said, "You are a prophet. Now go prophesy." Charlie knows this, and my wife will tell you, Charlie's the best thing that's happened to me since my friend died. Because I've been hiding in a cave. I didn't want to come out again. Because I know what it cost. We're going somewhere, I promise. But I felt that was important to talk about. And the Lord's asked me to pay a price again. Charlie said, "Ron, the ministry of Obadiah is over." I've been wrestling with that. He knows it. He had to come get me twice out of the cave. And we started this fast together. I used to be a really good faster. I was the best faster. Better than Charlie. But I have since been humbled. People would be amazed because I would be on liquid fast for 30 and 40 days, and I lived a fasted lifestyle. I lived 7 years fasting 3 days a week. For 7 years, I didn't eat 3 days a week, sometimes four. And I had no issue with it. There was grace. And then suddenly one day he said, "No more of that. Time to feast." And you can see the result. I showed him a picture a minute ago. He said, "That's not you."
No wonder you're having a fast.
Yeah. And sometimes when we're in a cave, we don't think the Lord's doing anything with us because it's quiet. Today I had a breakthrough. I didn't even know. Look, I was so weak in my body, I was shaking. From lack of nourishment, I was in here shaking. My stomach was making noises I've never heard before. It is in complete rebellion against this fast. Sorry. But I had a breakthrough today, and the Lord started giving me a download, and I'm like, whoa. Yesterday I was with Jewel and Debbie. They'd asked me to meet with them. And I told him, and I told Charlie this a few weeks ago, I said, "There's been a fog I can't get off. It's like I'm under a fog and I cannot get it off." I could hear God. I can still hear God for people, but hearing God for myself has been a totally different and very difficult thing. It's just like Charlie said, it was a blanket. Well, I wanted the blanket off because I want clarity. Well, I think he took the blanket off today. And here's what the Lord said. God is putting his house in order. This is not just for you sitting in this room. This is for the people that are watching right now via YouTube and for those that are going to be watching it later. He said, "Out with the old and in with the new. The way church has been done is over. Where the pastor has been the center and everyone has served him or her, and to some who have even worshiped that position, whether the congregation or the pastor themselves, worshiping the position that God is putting them in. He said that season is over. And he said, out with the old and in with the new. This is not something against pastors, but it's out of order. In March of 1977, God told Bob Jones that he was going to remove his glory from the church. And he saw God write Ichabod over the church. In March of 1977. And so the Lord works in 40-year cycles. And it's the 40th year. And the glory is returning to His house. It's returning to the church. But it's not going to be like it was before. He's reordering things now in the house the way it's supposed to be built. God is establishing the fivefold ministry in its proper place. It's happening now in this church body at Identity Church. It's happening right now. God is going to build His church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. It's now time for the abiding glory of God to come. Azusa had a moment of God's glory come. Brownsville had a moment. Toronto had a moment of the glory of God. But there's an abiding glory that's going to remain until He returns. And we're in that season. There are those that are trying to hang on to the past season. You want to live in the past because it's all you've known. Old manna, old moves. See, it's the 100th year anniversary of the prophecy from Azusa Street that William Seymour got, that there was going to be a move of God that would not end. I believe we're in that season. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. Says this: when Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." Then one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it his lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. For they did not know what they were. So they poured it out for the men to eat. And it came about as they were eating of the stew that they cried out and said, "O man of God, there is death in the pot." And they were unable to eat. And what the Lord showed me today is that there is poison in the pot. And the poison is this, it has to do with a lot of things, and you can apply it in a lot of places in your life right now, but it has to do with there's a change in the season that's taking place, and there's some of us that want to hang on to the past season, and it's poison in the pot. For some, it's looking at what God is doing in the new and speaking ill and slander and having a wrong motive in their heart because they don't understand the move that God is doing in this hour, and they're speaking poison out of their mouth. And it's poison in the pot. But the prophet came, Elisha, and he said, "Go gather the meal and put it in." And when they ate of it, they were not harmed. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah how to stop the poison from killing the prophets. So the word of the Lord that's come to me today has to do with the change that's coming to this church, and it's your choice. You're going to eat the poison? Or are you going to hear the voice of the prophet? It also has to do with what you've allowed yourself to hear and believe. Sometimes, and I've learned this over a life of hard knocks, is our perceptions are usually 100% wrong. Your perception of something is 100% wrong 100% of the time. And so when you're looking at something and saying, oh, that ain't God, and then a group of you get together and say, oh, you're right, that ain't God. Your perception of what God is doing is 100% wrong. Is that too hard? Okay. It's time, in Psalm 107 verse 2, it says it's time for this. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. It's time to take the poison that's up here, and sometimes it's gotten worked its way down into here, and it's time to go ahead and work on that and begin to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so over this situation or that situation. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. I'm standing up here today because I'm one of the redeemed of the Lord, and it's time to say so. See, there, it's funny how God works. In 2008, I read a prophecy by Paul Keith Davis, and he saw a manhole cover being removed, and out of this manhole cover came all kinds of gross darkness that would going to invade the earth. And he said he heard from heaven. He said he saw, here's what he saw. He saw the fulfillment in 2010 with the oil spill here in the Gulf. He said, and they even prophesied it on TV. It's like the bowels of the earth had opened up. It was funny. He said that one of the main images that he saw come out of that manhole cover was Hitler. The day the oil spill happened in the Gulf was Hitler's birthday. He said he heard a voice from heaven, and the voice from heaven said, the sons of God better be ready to respond in like kind. As the darkness increases, the children of God need to increase in my authority and my power. So he's looking for some mature sons of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, he says, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm going to read the rest of it in a minute. But the proper order in a house is an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He wants the fivefold ministry to work because they're there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I've seen this because I coveted this spot so long for so long. I wanted to stand up here. I told her, because of the word that Cindy Jacobs gave me, I thought, surely one day I'll be in front of 10,000 people, maybe more. So I coveted this position, because I thought this was the most important position we could get ourselves to.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't. I told you a minute ago, God measured greatness when I was sitting in front of a young man. He said, this is what's great in my kingdom. When you're fathering one of these, not tens of thousands of these. Where, he said, the ministry is not in here. It's not. The ministry going on in here is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The ministry is out there. It's where we work. It's where we live. It's where we do life. That's where the ministry is. And listen, here's the thing. The harvest is ripe. It's full. It can't get much fuller than it is right now. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you about this oil in just a minute, but the Lord showed me the church some years ago what it looked like in the Spirit. And I was appalled. Because what he showed me were the same images you see from World War II where the people were put in concentration camps and they were totally emancipated. Is that the right word? Emaciated. Thank you. They were skin and bones. I should have just used my own language. They were skin and bones. They had no strength in them. If you saw, if we lined up an army of those men and said, we're going to fight this well-equipped enemy across the way, who do you think is going to win? Right. But that's what the Lord said that His church looked like in the Spirit. Ouch. And here's the reason He said it. He said, most of my church comes to church once a week and they let the pastor feed them one meal. And they don't eat any other time of the week. And they want to know why they don't have any power or any authority. I'll let that marinate. The ones that you're called to bring in, the only thing the fivefold ministry is for is to equip them, train them up, and send them back out again. That's what we're here for. The Lord told me today, He said, if you want to know why the church is empty, He said, look in the mirror. I'm sorry, that's a little harsh. You have to read on in Ephesians. First, look at verse 13. Here's what happens when we put the things that are supposed to be in order in order. This is the blessing that comes from it. So here we are, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted, held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's a mouthful. So if we get this thing put in order and put right and start doing it the way God intended it to be, this is the fruit. This is the fruit. But He said, by speaking the truth in love. I had somebody ask me recently, they said, are all prophets mean? You have anything you want to say about that, Sister Susie? Something my wife learned. I'm going to use her, not you, okay?
Okay.
Something my wife learned, she didn't have a respect for the prophetic in my life. It actually angered her most of the time because what I was seeing, I was sharing with her. And she'd get mad about it because she didn't see it. But then it would happen and she'd be even more mad. Because sometimes it just wasn't pretty. And I see a lot. I don't see everything. I told Charlie today, I see in part. But I do see a lot. And I see a lot that I never talk about. I just pray about. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm first called to intercede. If I'm really a prophet, I'm first called to intercede. And I had a moment today that God hit me with something so heavy and so hard. A life hangs, well, really two lives hang in the balance. Literally, are hanging in the balance. And if I don't stand in the place of intercession between the living and the dead, somebody's going to die. That's my call. And it's costly. There's some poison in the pot here. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not going to call you by name. But there's poison in the pot. Some of you may watch it later. You might not be in the room tonight, okay? But there's poison. When you start speaking ill against leadership and you start speaking ill of God's anointed, David knew way better to do that. He killed the messenger. He killed the messenger. They said, don't kill the messenger. He killed the messenger that reported Saul's death. That's how much he took to heart. Don't touch God's anointed. There's some changes going on and some people here don't like it. Well, you might want to go look again at what the Lord is saying and doing. Ministries that have been built for kingdoms for themselves, kingdoms, there are churches that have built kingdoms to themselves. And I could name a bunch of them. People get on to me for naming them. I'm like, what? Why is that wrong? It's not right. What they're doing is wrong. I won't mention this man's name, but he got himself a $65 million airplane recently. Because he said he was going to take some cargo and some supplies to needed places around the globe. Well, the people that build the airplane said, it's not built for cargo, it's built for luxury. You can't even get two bags of golf clubs in the cargo space. So that was a lie. And they built a kingdom. I know where this man's church started. I know where it is right now. It's in one of the poorest communities in that area. Now what if we had invested $65 million into that community? It ain't right. God's about to fix it. There are pastors and leaders in the body of Christ that have built kingdoms for themselves. And they're not building God's kingdom. There are churches that are struggling financially. Poor churches all around the globe that are struggling financially. That want to do what's in God's heart, but they don't have the resources to really do it. That's about to change. This is a now word. That's about to change. And what was once adored and people loved and gave into, they're going to see it suddenly come crashing down in front of them. And they're going to sit there and wonder, did I miss God? Because everything they sowed into that place is now gone. Is it wood, hay, and stubble? It's getting burned up. There's been an attack on the body of Christ, and I know. See, when prophets walk through something, my friend said this. He said, when the prophets are rejoicing, the people are weeping. And when the prophets are weeping, the people are rejoicing. That's always how it works. And I'm telling you, I just walked through a season of weeping for the last 10 years. And he switched it over now. You don't know, and I don't even really know the fullness of what Charlie means to me, but I know that he came and got me out of my cave. And for that, I will be forever grateful. People have even said in this church, and I don't care if you know or don't know, people said, well, I want to be close to Charlie. I want him to walk with me like he's walking with you. It ain't fair. That's basically what they're saying. It ain't fair the way Charlie's treating you because I've been here longer than you have. That's what people are saying. They've said it to me. And here's what I responded to one of them. And I looked at him and I said, listen, I don't need another minute of Charlie's time. I don't care if he ever speaks to me again. That's what happens in the cave.
Then I had to go get you again.
True. I don't need Charlie. Charlie doesn't need me. I do believe he's brought us together for such a time as this because something's about to explode. Yeah. But see, all I need is Jesus Christ. And there are people here that just need to get along with Jesus and spend some time with Him. You don't need Charlie Coker. He's broken. Yeah. He's a weak and broken vessel, just like I am. I'm not saying that to be derogatory. I'm saying that he's a weak and broken vessel. And he's at one point or another, he's going to disappoint all of us.
Guaranteed.
But Jesus will never disappoint us. He promises that in Romans chapter 5. We'll never. I'm sorry. Sorry, Gary. He told me not to talk about Romans. But he'll never disappoint us. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I value this friendship. I value it at a level. And I hope God doesn't test me by what I just said, because I really do. I've enjoyed running with somebody again because I hadn't run with anybody since my friend died. I've been alone. The attack on the body of Christ has been this, and this is what I've been walking in. It's been anxiety, fear, depression, and panic. Anxiety, fear, depression, and panic is what's been on the body of Christ. And it's a little to the Greek. Maybe it's not been so much, but it's about to be. I know that the prophets walk through things because they're going to help people guide them through that, and it's not going to take them nearly as long as the 10 years I've been doing it. We've navigated through that process and already paid the price so that we can show you how to get out of it and not even have to go through it. That's what prophets do. It's time for us, when those kinds of attacks come against us, is to look at our mind and say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That thing has no part of me. When that thing comes on, we need to just knock it completely off of us and tell the demon to go. Because that's what it is. There's been a love for self that is so come inside the church and made ministers and leaders so selfish and so inward, they've forgotten the call that was upon their life to bring others into the kingdom. Now they take what belongs to these people and they take it for themselves. I'm grieved. I'm grieved in my heart for the thing the Lord showed me today. I'm grieved at a heart level. I'm not rejoicing in what could possibly come upon some of these people. I'm not rejoicing over that. I'm not going, see, you get what you deserve. It grieves my heart because at one point, at one time in their lives, they were doing something for God and for the kingdom that brought a smile to God's face. And somewhere along the way, they got into error and they got into a mistake and they went with it. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate from the tree of manna from the Babylonian system that permeates every culture around the globe. They ate of it and they said, I've got to have it. They wanted to live a rock star lifestyle. And now it's eaten up everything that they used to be. And God's about to tear it all down. And it grieves me because it's going to grieve so many in the body of Christ. It's going to cause so many to be grieved at what they followed for so many years. The shaking of His judgment has come. And I used to be afraid of judgment. But judgment just brings salvation. That's all that's all judgment is for. It's not for, oh, I'm going to give you a big spanking because this is what you deserve. He brings the least amount of judgment that He can possibly bring to bring about the greatest salvation the earth has ever seen. It's time for us to tell our minds to shut up. Stop drinking the poison. What's here, what's about to happen, what's about to be poured out on this generation, I believe, is bigger than anything we've ever known. Churches won't hold it. Stadiums won't hold it. We're going to be meeting in fields, in big pasture lands, with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people because God is going to bring in a harvest. The question to you is, are you going to be a part of it? Are you going to be one that abides in His glory in this next season? Are you going to be one that because you couldn't stop wagging your tongue or your finger at the men and women God has placed over you and around you, are you going to allow the poison to keep you outside of what is going on? Are you going to abide in His glory? Now, I believe the Lord has shifted some things in this church. Some of you don't like it. Here's what God is establishing. And I told this to him today before I got up here. Charlie is an apostle. I told him that the first couple of times I met him. I knew he was an apostle. And God has given the apostle the blueprints, the building blocks of what he wants. That's what God has given the apostle. He's given him the blueprints on how he wants his church to be. It's God's plan. It's not Charlie's plan. He's just the apostle that's meant to bring about the purpose of heaven here on the earth. He is giving him what it needs to look like, what it needs to smell like, what it needs to taste like. He's given it to him. Some of you are in a position of resisting change. You're about to find yourself on the outside looking in. You're about to miss God's will for your life. You've taken offense not with Charlie, but with the Lord God Himself. It's time that we repent and get right, or He's going to move on without you. And He's going to get you out of the way. I'm not here to scare anybody. I just know what God's saying. The pattern is being set. No man will stop it. Are you going to be in or are you going to be out? Submit to the Lord in this season. If you do that, the judgment and the shaking that's coming in the earth, and it's going to be financial, it's going to be other things, it's going to be a lot of different things that's going to cause anxiety, fear, depression, and panic. If you're in, no harm's going to come to you. That's the word of the Lord. No harm. That'll all be happening around you. It'll be swirling and swirlings that are going on around you. But no harm will come to you. It'll be just like the Jews in the Old Testament in Shiloh. The judgments fell on Egypt. Nothing happened to them in Shiloh. Charlie, I'm saying this publicly because I already said to it personally. He's not just a regional apostle. He's not. The Lord showed me today, and here's what He told me. He said, Ron, He said, what did I do in this last season for you when I was in the cave? I said, you promoted me. He said, yeah, I did. I took you out of a region. That's where my spiritual father was. He was a regional guy. He said, I took you out of the region. I put you over the entire state. The man that hired me at my last position was a statewide elected official, and he hired me because he said, Ron, I know you're a prophet, and I want you to prophesy over the education mountain and over the children in this state. When I got that word in 1998, I was driving a trash truck. You tell me God doesn't do something or can't make something happen. And when I remember that word is because I was sitting down with the governor and his wife and my boss, just the four of us, in the governor's mansion where I spent the night. And over the dinner table, we were discussing policies that were going to become laws. God had promoted me to a statewide level. Now, some dumb, ignorant prophets got in the way, messed that up. And I called one of them, told him he was ignorant. And he's with a well-known man. I won't mention his name. But you'd know him. As soon as I said his name, you'd know him. But he told him to run against the sitting governor, and I said, that ain't God. And he did, and he lost. Now he's in a little old place in Georgia now, wondering where he's supposed to be. Called him today. I said, the Lord told me something about you. Now I got to type it out to him. He wants to read it. But he's got a national calling. My former boss has a national calling. He doesn't just have a statewide calling. He had a dream as a young man that he'd be president of the United States. A prophet by the name of Ron Teal, a few years ago, looked at him and said, "You know, I was leaving today, but the Lord made me come back in here and tell you something. You will be president of the United States." I plan to be working for him at that point, just so you know. I won't tell you what he calls me. So God told me today, and I can prophesy this because I have authority in this realm, because I'm a statewide prophet. I'm telling you that. I'm telling all of you that. I didn't promote myself. I was a trash man. God is releasing over the state of Florida, Charlie, to be an apostle for this state, not just this state, but the state of New York, and he said, some others. And when we were talking about that, he named a few, but there's even a couple more. And God told me to tell him that he's already placed inside of him the building blocks inside of you to set your hand to the plow and not look back. That's what's kind of scared some people around here, is you set your hand to the plow and you're not looking back. Susie, you're not going to like this part. The Lord said to tell Charlie he's got maybe 2 years left in the marketplace. Maybe 2 years. I think less. That's what the Lord impressed upon me. God is going to remove you from the marketplace and place you in full-time ministry. Because it's not just going to be a statewide thing that God has called Charlie to, but God's called him to a national level. And that's next. He paid, and this is what the Lord told me today, and I told him in his office, you paid the price now to walk in the statewide authority from this last season. While you're in this season in the statewide authority, you're going to pay the price to walk in the national arena. That's the progression. He also told me to tell the elders of this church that things are about to switch here. And the reaper is going to overtake the plow, the guy that sows. See, the finances are coming into the house of the Lord where God is building His kingdom, not man building it. And so as you allow Him to operate in what God has called Him to in this hour, then the provision will flow like it's never flowed before. But we've got to let Him do what God's calling Him to do. Some of you are thinking, Charlie's not a good, perfect vessel. And the Lord told me He wasn't looking for perfect vessels. He said He was looking for willing ones. And this is a season that Charlie has told the Lord again, I'm willing. And because of that choice, we get to enjoy that fruit. It's not going to be like it was before. And I've had to wrestle this myself, being in the season I am in, trying to get a job, knowing that before I could pay all my bills, pay down my debt, almost buy a house. I'm excited, and the Lord rips me out of all that, and He puts me back into a place that looks vaguely familiar to a season I'd already lived in before. And it was poor. And I did not miss being poor. There was nothing inside of me that said, man, I'm super excited about being poor again and losing everything again. And it looked so familiar. And the Lord began to speak to me today and He said, Ron, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You don't have to be poor again. It may look like the last season, but it's not.
Come on.
It's different. And so I'm telling you and Susie that when God pulls you out of the marketplace, it won't be a place where you're going to be poor in the natural, but there will be such an abundance. And listen, The word of the Lord out of a prophet's mouth is only proven when it happens. It will be in abundance like you've never known. Some of you have got some repenting to do. That may be whether publicly or privately, whether right now or later on, you've got some repenting to do. God says you need to lay the offense down if you want to be in this new season. It's time for humility to come. And he said, go low so that he can raise you up. He's looking for the intimate ones, those who are going for the oil of his presence. And nothing else will do. Now, Charlie told you about the oil earlier. This is it. I'll let y'all pass that around, but I'm going to use it here in a minute. This oil is coming out of a Bible in Dahlonega, Georgia, because about 10 people got together every week and prayed. I don't believe God does copycats, so I'm not expecting my Bible to start spewing oil out of it anytime soon. Because he likes to do something at a certain place for a certain time, but the body of Christ gets so fixated on the expression that God is using in that moment, they begin to worship it. I don't want to worship the expression. I want to worship the Holy One of Israel.
Come on.
But I'm excited about what God is doing because 10 people decided they were going to get together and get intimate and get the oil that you can't get through doing ministry. The Bible. It started flowing out and it started in Genesis. It went all the way to Revelation. They put it in a Ziploc bag. It wouldn't hold it in a Ziploc bag. Now it's sitting in a tote, a clear tote that's probably this tall, this wide, and it's full of oil. And the Lord told the people, wasn't the pastor's Bible, the Lord told the people, as long as you give it away, the oil will flow. If you charge for it, it's going to cease. To him who's been given freely, then you should give it freely. Too many of the people in the body of Christ want you to pay for what they've got. They had a chemist test that oil. They said it has a lot of the properties of mineral oil, but the chemist said they can't figure out what kind of oil it is. But it is clear oil. Pure. I want to just tell you something about redemption. I told Charlie this story. I may have told it to him twice. He's going to hear it now for the third time.
He does that too.
As a young man in Christ, I had an opportunity that I haven't had since. I think the Lord knew. He knew what I was going to do. He's not surprised by what I did. But it was a big lesson for me. And a young girl that I grew up with was in a car accident. She was paralyzed from the neck down. Never going to walk again. I was just recently saved, came home on leave from the Navy, was in my church that the youth pastors had become the pastors, standing on the front row worshiping the Lord like everybody else. And I told Charlie, the only way I can describe it is like a soundproof booth came down around me. And the Lord started to speak to me and he said, son, I want you to turn around. To the girl in the wheelchair, I want you to lay hands on her at all. I want you to tell her to get up. And it's not for anybody's glory or for edification but my own. And I argued with God for a good 30 minutes. So much arguing that went on there. The pastor stopped the service and said, God's speaking to somebody here and you need to do what he said.
Nope.
He resumed the worship service. My sister was standing right beside me. A few minutes later, she looked at me and she said, why don't you just do what God's telling you to do? I said no for the last time. And I felt the presence of the Lord leave. Talk about grieved. Had I just been obedient, I didn't have any power. I don't have any power. I just have the choice to be obedient or not, to be willing or not. And I chose that day not to be obedient. It hurt me. It hurt me so bad. It hurt me so much, I told God I'll never do that again. I'd learned my lesson. It grieved me so much, I went and I got the parents and I told them I needed to meet with them. I need to repent. And so I sat down with them. I told them what happened and they just burst out in tears. They said, Ron, you don't know this, but a month ago a prophet told us that nobody would lay hands on Paige, that she would get up for his glory and edification alone. I thought about that for a long time. Here God is talking to me, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He wants to redeem some things in your life that you messed up. I got a text in the middle of getting this download today, and it was from my mom. And the father of this little girl, well, she's not a little girl now. She's a grown woman like me. I'm not a grown woman either. Y'all can edit that out, right?
Part of your testimony yet,
yeah, we hadn't heard that testimony.
We'll get that in part two.
Bring that to the men's meeting.
Yeah. So I got a text in the middle of this today, and my mom said that the father of Paige has inoperable lung cancer. That bothers the snot out of me. He said, and so here he is talking to me about redemption. And he said, so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, can I get a 2-for-1? Can you go back and redeem what I messed up then and heal him? I told him today, I was pacing back and forth through here, and I said, send me a plane ticket and I'll go, if that's what you want me to do. I'll go right now. And I have full confidence, not in myself, but I have full confidence that God wants to redeem something that I messed up, and He wants to be glorified through His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price so that both of them, one could live and one could walk. I'll go. If He doesn't want to send me, then He better send somebody, because I'm not going to relent in heaven's courtroom until He does something. I think I shared this last time I spoke. Was that last week? I think it was. Seems like an eternity ago. Two scriptures in the Bible that scare the hell out of me, literally. I'm not saying that funny. They scare the hell out of me. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. And the other one is when he says, I never knew you, and he spewed them out of his mouth. See, this oil represents something much more than just a manifestation, a sign, or a wonder. To me, this oil represents the intimacy that we develop in our lives with Christ. Because this is what he's looking for. He's looking for intimacy. He's not looking for a gift or a talent. And he said, so when he says to, you know, he spews them out of the mouth, and they say, but we prophesy in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we raise the dead in your name. See, the glory's coming in such a way that you can do all those things, and it isn't even going to be you. It's going to be him, because he's made a promise to a generation. You just happen to be living in it. But here's the scary part. If you don't have an intimacy with the Lord, he's going to one day spew you out of his mouth into the lake of fire. That's scary. And 5 unwise virgins didn't have enough oil in their lamp because he tarried longer than they expected. And then they tried to get oil from the wise virgins, and they said, no, if we give you some, we don't have enough for ourselves. That's scary. And they were shut out of the feast of the bridegroom. That scares the hell out of me. I want to have intimacy. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want, when I get done on planet Earth, I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, my favorite son. I'm his favorite. So I'm glad there's some elders here tonight, because we're going to do some praying right now. Oh, I need to keep that out. It's time that we in the natural do what God already did in the spirit. And that's to anoint Charlie as the state apostle over the state of Florida and other New York and other places. Because he's transitioning to into a journey that scares the hell out of him. I'm transitioning into something that scares the hell out of me. Because I know what I paid in the last season. What is it going to cost me this time? So I want the elders to come down. And I want us to anoint Charlie for this new adventure. Susie, I think you ought to come down here with him.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.